so everyone is welcome. And it's in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's pick up our message at verse number 15. The Apostle Paul says, but if I am delayed, we're not in control of the times and of the seasons. Anything may happen unto us at any time according unto the will of God. As I write, so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. And so what he's saying is that believers are to meet together in the local church. It's the house of God is a place of worship. And if you can't find a church that is preaching the gospel, then it is your job is to meet with one or two or three or eight or ten or five, and you gather together in the worship of God in the truth. Is we're not to compromise, and we're not to go outside of the house of God and of the gathering of the saints and meet with unbelievers in false worship. It is an inexcusable evil. Now, if I'm in a church that does not have the truth of the gospel, and I have an opportunity to bear witness of that truth, then that is doing the work of evangelism, the work of a missionary. But I still should be meeting with other saints in the community. Or let's say it's a handful of saints in that church, but the pastor is not preaching the truth, but I'm a Sunday school teacher. And so I think I have an opportunity to be of an influence. And I want to see if the pastor, if the church will change. I'm still to meet with the church on my own with the body of Christ in the true worship, in the pure worship of God. Is we have too many people that believe the truth, that's what they say, but they don't worship with the people of God. They don't make an effort to meet with God's people. They are in houses of the God of this world, in houses of Satan, as to where the gospel is not preached, and they're worshiping quietly. And they may be saying stuff online, but there isn't anything being done to change that atmosphere in which they are in. Then plus, is they're not even worshiping on the side with other true believers. Is I'll give you an illustration. Is a man told me his pastor is his father. And if he were to leave, you know, that he would lose his school fees. That's a bad excuse. But then this person also told me that they were too busy because I was in an area that was going to be close. They are too busy to make an effort to meet with me. I question that person's faith. If it's real, it certainly lacks a lot of maturity. But it's a false faith, most likely, if that is not repented of. But if I'm meeting in a church that isn't preaching the gospel, I still need to be meeting with saints in the house of God, in the actual true worship of God. And the only reason I should be there is to preach the truth, is because I think that I've been praying and I feel like I can be of help there still. But the job of the New Testament is to form brand new churches, that we come out from among them and we be separate and we worship God in spirit and truth without compromise, according unto the scripture. This is not a thing that is merely knowledge in my head. As we learned from last week, it's the character of the believing preacher is so important. It is how he is actually judged by how he lives, as well as being able to teach the gospel. So when I truly get to know God, it's not just some knowledge I have in my head. And then you see people who have no church. And so what they say is, I can't find any place around here, and I'm not going to go to worship in a place that isn't preaching the gospel. Fine. But are you doing everything you can to meet with saints in your local area? Is your life about you meeting with people in the worship of God, in truth, in prayer, in song, in you giving to support each other, in you, and you, it's in you trying to find a pastor. It's in you meeting with others. If it's your neighbors, for prayer. You can't preach. You don't know how to teach well. Okay, if you can meet with some friends in prayer, if you can play an audio, if you can read a sermon, you can be evangelizing the world as you wait on God to give you a true fellowship. That is acceptable. Now, for me personally, I would not be worshiping at a false church. If the gospel is not preached, it's a false church. That's just point blank. It could be Catholic, it could be Muslim. It depends what is coming out of the pulpit. As I was at a medical conference, this was in it was in Benway, maybe. I don't remember the state. But the only persons that I spoke to in the counseling session who knew the gospel attended a Catholic church. And I was hitting them with the points. I mean, it isn't about Mary. It isn't about the saints. It's about Christ. It's about faith alone. It's about grace alone. It is sovereign grace. Hit them with every point, and they answered well. And so their particular pastor had actually learned about the Puritans. I don't know exactly as to what he's preaching, but I know by their testimony, they believed the gospel, and that was the best church that they could find. If he's preaching sovereign grace, great, great. It has happened in history. But those saints are to meet together to worship God in truth without compromise. If I can't find anybody, I'm to be active. I'm to be an evangelist of the gospel, because the church is important. It is the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the church is the one that upholds, supports the truth of the gospel. Now, obviously, the truth of the gospel is in scripture. But the church is the one, those that are led, those that are guided, those that are filled with God's Spirit. It's the church, it's the people of God, which proclaim this truth unto the world. The church is the only group of people that can interpret the scriptures in the power of the Holy Spirit and preach him unto this world. And so the church takes the Bible, and it is through scripture alone, it comes unto the proper interpretation, and it preaches Christ unto the world. It's an illustration is in the book of 2 Kings as to when King Josiah, as he was a very young man, he found as he was working in the temple, as he had his men working, they found the book of the law and had to open it up, and he feared, he trembled, he humbled himself, he repented, and God heard him. So without, if we don't have the Bible opened up and explained, is we don't have the truth of the gospel, even if we have the scriptures on the pulpit. And that, my brothers, is happening so many times and so many places, that the Bible is open, but it's never read and preached accurately in its context. But that's what the church does. It's the church is the light of the world. I know that Christ is a light, but the church shines and reflects the glory of Jesus Christ and preaches him unto this world. Verse number 16, and without controversy, this is an inarguable statement, great is the mystery of godliness. What is true worship? What is the true worship of God? It's a person. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. It is God manifested in the flesh. True godliness, this mystery of godliness is not a set of rules, as we're going to see as we go into chapter number 4. True godliness is the worship of, it's the reverence of, it's the adoration of, it is the focus upon the person and the work and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That who was manifested in the flesh, God manifested in the flesh, he who is the eternal God. He came down and became a baby. This is great mystery. It is awe-inspiring. It is worthy of worship. It is a message that will never lose its power, because you're interacting with God, becoming a person, and coming down to be worshiped because of who he is and what he has done and he will do for his people. It's the worship of God. I mean, it isn't ourselves. It isn't rules apart from Christ. That's why the preaching of Christ is the importance of all scripture. If we're not preaching Christ, we don't know what we're talking about. If we're not going into the sermon preaching Christ, is we ought be quiet. It should never be a time, it should never be a sermon where Christ is not preached or there is no worship of God. Yes, the law is lawful if a man is to use it lawfully. Its job is to condemn. Its job is to expose the sinner. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the worship of God. And there is no worship of God unless Christ is preached. But if he is preached, then we can worship. He's manifested in the flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. And then Brother Kelechi, it's, you can update as to what is the scripture verse if you message as you see some new people in. But he was justified in the Spirit. Now, I think that this is a progression. It starts with him being manifested in the flesh. It ends with him being received up into glory. And so he came down and he went back up into heaven. So based upon that, this justified in the Spirit, it has to do with his humanity being verified as God. It's that God was manifested in the flesh, and flesh was manifested, was justified, was actually vindicated, was actually shown and proven to be God in the Spirit, in his eternal essence. Is it by the Holy Spirit? Well, that is who formed him in the womb, but that's who formed his humanity. His eternal deity existed always, of course. He's equal with God. But he was made a man in the womb of the Virgin, a holy man. It's in fact, it's in the book of Luke 1. It's the scripture says of him. It says in verse 35, is the angel answered and said to her, Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And therefore, that is that Holy One, that holy thing, who is to be born, is he will be called the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh, indicated by the Spirit, justified by the Spirit, proven by the Spirit to be the Son of God in his character, in his nature, in his works, in his essence. That was a holy thing, a holy being that was created in the womb of the Virgin, who is God Almighty himself, a man. Great mystery. But he was also, it says in 1 Timothy 3, verse number 16, he was seen by angels at his birth. Is the angels came and they testified of him that It's in Luke 2. It's they saw the babe in verse number 12 is wrapped in swaddling clothes and he's lying in a manger. Verse number 13, and suddenly there was with the angel, it's a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. Those angels were set by God to actually worship him as to when he brings in his firstborn son into this world. They worshiped him at his birth. They sang his praises. They knew who he was. They marveled that the God that they had seen and beheld in their own small way had actually become an infant and a baby, and they are testifying, this is the Son of God. This is the great thing that has happened. And this is worship. It's God, he came down and became a man. And heaven was aware of it. Preached among the nations. He came out preaching himself. He sent the disciples to preach Christ Jesus. Preaching of Christ is the message. As to when you go to hear preaching, you go to hear Jesus. I'm listening for him. I'm hearing him in the text. As to what is preaching, I posted on this, and sometimes things so profound yet so simple, they come unto me and you as we meditate, as we ponder on these things over and over. I'm in prayer and asking God and in meditating on the scriptures and the example of our own life and our own conduct. What is preaching all about? Well, it's a good relationship with God. If I don't have my own eyes on Christ and the peace and comfort of the Holy Spirit, I'll be distracted from the text. I cannot see clearly. I'm blind. I have nothing to say. Is I have no confidence. I'm naked. I'm ashamed. I'm without God in the pulpit. And that, sir, that is a lonely place. That is the worst. That's the worst aspect of my life. So therefore, I and you, we devote our lives to being in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what keeps us from sin. I don't want to sin because I don't want my conscience to be dirty. I want this relationship with God because that is all of my peace. I don't have anything else, and neither do you. We don't have anything but Christ. I must have his power. I must have his peace. I must have his comfort, and therefore, I must avoid each and everything that would cause us to disturb this relationship by the power of the grace that's in Christ and by the forgiveness of sins. We confess our sins quickly and we stay away from sin by faith in Christ and we call upon God and wait with confidence if we've grieved him. What's preaching? Point number two, I got to see Christ in the text. I don't care what's in the text. It has to point me unto Jesus Christ. If I don't see it in the light of Christ, I don't see it. It has got See, the only way to preach the gospel is to know the gospel. I was as blind as a bat without eyes. But when I heard the blessed gospel, then I could go into the text and aha, I see it's there. And I remember the first time I heard the gospel is I preached a sermon up the New Testament, 1 Peter. It was on redemption clear. Then I went into the Old Testament scriptures and I saw a message of the brazen serpent. Look and live. And I wrote my notes and I preached Christ. And I just happened to have a book by Charles Spurgeon I had bought. And I opened it up and he was preaching the exact same sermon in his own excellent way. And I said, aha, I'm on track. I can see it too. But previously I had not seen Christ in that text of scripture. I would always be seeing myself. Because that's what preachers do who can't preach Christ. They preach themselves. Now, what's preaching? Three? This has really helped me. It's love. It's clarity. It's opening the text. It's not performing to be seen. And I don't know if you have that problem as much as I do. But it's opening the text in love so people can see the Christ that's in the text. And in love is you'll tell them the truth. In love, you will tell them the whole truth. In love, you will be gentle and you will be bold and you will be kind and you will be unflinching and you will hold back nothing of the truth of the gospel. Is the angel told Peter and John to stand? This is in Acts 4. Here's preaching. Is the angel said, it may be in Acts. Yes, in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 20, is the angel had opened up the prison doors and had brought out is our brother Peter and John. If you mute your microphone, it's the person that has just now. It's now joined us. Hi, hello. And so, Brother Victor, if you mute your microphone, please, sir. Yes, it's muted now. Great. But the scripture says in Acts, in chapter 5 and verse number 20 is the word says, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. So when you're opening a text, don't hold back anything. Preach everything in that text that you can see in the spirit. These things that he puts inside of your mind to say as you open that text and you preach all of it. That's what love will do. And it's Christ whom we preach. If you go back, please, in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 3, verse number 16, he was next, it says that he was believed on in the world. Is he is believed as our great Redeemer. He is believed as the one who put away our sins. He is believed as the one who satisfied the justice of God as our substitute, as our sacrifice, as our atonement, as our propitiation from our sins. He appeased the anger of the wrath of God. And then he was resurrected from the dead, proclaiming his power to forgive sins as the Almighty God. And then he was resurrected. Then after the 40 days, he was received up into heaven, into glory. And they saw him. That's why they preached with so much power. They saw him ascend up into heaven and went past those clouds with their eyes. It's the same as when Elisha, if you see me as to when I'm taken up, then you'll have a double portion of my spirit. If we see the resurrected and ascended Son of God sat down at the right hand of God by faith, then we know that we have power and authority with God, because there at the right hand of God, there goes my acceptance with God. He's at God's right hand. And because of him, you and I can have the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have anything to do with our life. It has to do with that life that was lived and accepted. It was lived by the Lord Jesus, the Christ. It was accepted by God the Father. And upon that basis, the Holy Spirit comes unto us with power. And so when I fast, or as to when you pray, or as to when you give, or as to when you do good works, but particularly in our fasting and prayer, it's not trying to earn a blessing by my extra sufferings. It is simply trying to see the It is simply trying to see the blessing that I already have earned for me by the Lord Jesus Christ more clearly by faith in the gospel. There is nothing to be added unto Jesus Christ at any time for righteousness with God. And so you see how all preaching is, you see how all worship is, you see how all songs is, you see how all prayer is, you see how everything that has to do with God and with godliness, the proper reverence, the proper worship of God, has to do with his Son. He says, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Hear ye him. He is the gospel. That's the book of Matthew in chapter number 17. He's the gospel, Christ whom we preach. is we warning all men. If you're preaching on the end times, you better be preaching Christ. He is coming again. He won that redeemed us. He is to be worshipped if we're going to be ready. If we're worshiping Him, then we're proclaiming Him, is we're bringing other people unto Him, unto Christ Jesus. Everything has to do with Christ. And so preachers of Christ, in sovereign grace, that's the preachers that you want to hear. And you don't want to hear anybody else. And I recommend unto you, or I try to, so many different kinds of preachers from different eras, but they're all preaching the same Christ of sovereign grace, and you are safe in their hands as long as you judge them and myself by the Scriptures. As you judge everything by the Scriptures and the light of Christ Jesus. That is the light of the Holy Ghost. And if your preacher is focusing on the Holy Ghost and not focusing on Christ, he's not preaching Christ, and he isn't in the text, and he's not in the Holy Spirit. If it's on politics, it better bring me back unto the gospel. It could be end times, it could be the creation. He made all things for Him. And by His power, all things, everything was made. So He said, it's the book of Matthew, chapter number 17. And you see, Peter had made a mistake of, let's build three tabernacles. You got Elijah, you got Moses, you got Jesus. Let's just, worship them all. You got the Scriptures, you got this message, you got that, you got this man, you got that man, you got the law you're so infatuated with, all the prophets, all the prophecies. No. Verse number 5, as to why he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud is it overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." There's only one message. Hear Him. He overshadowed their ignorance, their pride, their self-sufficiency. And He did not destroy them. He overshadowed them because Christ He shed His blood upon the cross and would pay for their sins. Or that is a death sentence. That's sin. Who'd be worshiping here, there, this, that, him, that, her. That's sin. But this is my beloved Son, whom I love so much. He's my one and only. Hear Him. Look to Him. Believe on Him. Trust Him. He is the message. And if you're going to be a preacher, you're going to preach Christ. Not just God, but Christ Jesus. Let's go back into 1 Timothy. And I appreciate each and every one of you here this morning. If there's anything that is unclear, if you want to ask, you just hop on in here and we'll ask. We will, try to make things more clear as I'm here to be helpful. And I don't want to be the one man that is going to be doing all of the talking. If there is something else or somebody else that can be helpful. It's our job is here. It is to edify. And ultimately, you two men are going to have to rise up, and you're going to have to be the ones who train other men here in Nigeria. I'll be leaving in a year. I'll be in touch and online and all these things, and I'll be here to visit as I'm enabled by God. But this is your work, and I'm here to help you and to make you strong, because we've got to pass on the teaching of the gospel, and it is without compromise, and it is Christ Jesus. That is whom we preach incessantly. We are in love with the Son of God. In fact, there is no access unto God. There is no peace with God apart from Christ Jesus. So if Christ is not in all of our thoughts, where are we going to find hope and peace and joy? Because God is not going to bless it. As old Martin Luther said, I don't want to have anything to do with a God outside of Christ Jesus. I don't even want to think about God apart from Christ. It's too scary. It's fearful. There is no hope. It's over. It's wrath coming. It is just straight judgment and hell. It's the worst thought imaginable. That's why we preach Christ in all the scriptures. And if you can't see Christ in a text, don't preach it. If it can't lead me unto Christ, don't preach it. It only has one other purpose, and that is to condemn, to point out, as the scripture, the sin of the Pharisee who thought that he was righteous instead of that man. That's what we did last night. The text was pointing out the sin of the Pharisee, but even that was pointing us back unto Christ Jesus. He was rejecting the righteousness and the propitiation of the Lamb. And he was imposing his own self-righteousness instead of God's glory in the Son. He was rejecting God in hatred of God. And it was God that was hating him right back. He hated his false religion. So, chapter number 4, it is of the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 4. Is we've looked at this great mystery. Oh, what tears ought to flow in our hearts and minds as we think about Christ Jesus. This is worship. This is just in our heart in a way that is impactful into our entire life. That's real godliness. It's Christ as a person being worshiped properly in our conduct, in our behavior, in our teaching, in our character. But he says in chapter 4, now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, expressly says, very clearly, explicitly says, that in the latter times, this happened. This portion of scripture, 1 Timothy 4, verse number 1 through 5, happened by the time of Augustine, in just about 350 years after the apostles. The church had transferred itself away from Christ Jesus and true godliness, which is by faith and love, and had transformed themselves into a band of people that was worshiping the rules and the edicts of men. And then shortly after Augustine, particularly the Catholic Church, it took over. And you get your monasteries, you get the monks, all of a sudden the priests can't marry. Then here, like in Nigeria, if you have a glass of wine, you must be a devil. These are all the doctrines and the religions of men. And it's called here in our text, the doctrines of demons. Because it takes our eyes off of Christ and the true worship of God, bringing honor unto him, into touch not, taste not, handle not religion that's after the rules and the edicts of man. And so Christ is not preached, it's man's rules that are being preached. And so God is not worshipped, and so it's the doctrine of a devil. It's no small and it's no tiny matter. Look at the text. Look what it says. That in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, the pure preaching of Christ, and the joy that's in him, and the forgiveness of sins by the blood he shed, into if you don't drink this, if you don't eat that, if you fast on Lent, if you do this or that, then you can have the forgiveness of sins based upon you, instead of the blood of Jesus by faith alone. They left the gospel. And it happened quickly. Is they are giving heed to deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons. It's the last times or all the times after the resurrection of Christ, after Pentecost, as our brother John said, these are the last times. It's the book of 1 John. In chapter 2, verse number 18, it says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. So it's the last times now. It has in the last times since the resurrection and the preaching of Christ. And it is the last times that we're moving into at the last of the last time. But the apostle, our brother John already said, it is the last hour. If you need to mute your microphone, please. I don't know as to who it is. It is probably a person that is new.
I'm having a bad network here.
Okay, brother. Nice to see you here, Victor. But if you're able to mute your microphone, brother, I'm going to let you have a question to ask. Okay. So let's turn back, please.